What is the cause of Maya?
Maya, and what is the root cause of this ignorance?
Yeah. Well, Maya also means, it's practically synonymous with ignorance. The two go together. So, we understand we are all jiva. We're living. That which is living is different from that which is ajiva. This is matter, we are living. So as living beings, it means that we have consciousness. And desire, as where there is consciousness, there must be desire. Is it not? If there's consciousness, there is desire. We don't see consciousness without desire. So, material desire entangles us. What is the root cause of that material desire? It means desire to enjoy the senses, to enjoy the world, to have power, to be comfortable, to be peaceful. These are all desires. So we understand that the root cause of everything is what is known in the Vedas as Brahma. Everything comes from Janmadyasya Yataha. The subject matter of Vedanta Sutras is Brahma. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. We should inquire. So what is Brahma? Brahma is Janmadyasya Yataha, from which everything comes. So everything includes desire. So desire is also in Brahman. It comes from Brahman. But that desire, that is pure desire. There's a difference between pure desire and impure desire. Pure desire means selfless desire. Impure desire means I have some personal motive. So pure desire means to love Krishna, to put it simply. Krishna is param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram paramambhava. So that pure love is for Krishna. When we give up that desire, or we don't make that desire to love Krishna, then that desire becomes perverse. And then we desire in terms of this body, the body that we have. So the root cause of illusion is misuse of our independence. As jivas, we have little independence. If we misuse that, then we come to this world which is called Durga. It's like a prison. We're kept in this material world. And if we become free from that desire to enjoy this world, and we desire only to serve Krishna in prem, then our desire is pure, and we go to Krishna.
This arises, this karma arises, the desire to enjoy the world or other things arises.
Little independence.
What is that cause? That is the root cause I am asking.
Little independence means that much independence we have. We can desire either to channel our desires properly to Krishna in a selfless way, or we can misuse that. So what is the root cause? The root cause is the misuse of our independence. And if you say what is the root cause of our independence, Krishna gave that to us. Because Krishna has desire. What is that desire? For love. Love is the highest. We may talk of desirelessness, but higher than that is pure desire to love. Because Krishna desires to love, eko bahu syam, he who is the one becomes many and expands himself, mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha, into all the jivas who are parts of Krishna, but they have this independence. We have that independence because unless we have the choice to love, then it's not love. If I bring a gun and say, you love me, you may agree, but it's not love. It has to come from one's own heart. So it's a matter of choosing properly or improperly, that's all.
But my doubt is, how this desire to enjoy this world comes? Even though we are with God, we have a lot of freedom to love, express our pure love, but with little independence, this desire, how it arises? What is that cause?
That's it. I mean, I don't know how to explain it further than this, that we have desire, we can either use it or misuse it. A man may either embrace another man or he may beat him. He can choose to do so. But the very meaning of independence is that we have some free choice. That's the very meaning of it. If we're to ask questions about the ultimate cause, at some point we have to stop asking, because otherwise it goes on forever. If we say that, well, the ultimate cause is Brahman, then what caused Brahma? But there has to be some ultimate cause. Otherwise there's an infinite regress. So the ultimate cause is Brahma, Param Brahma. Is Krishna, and Krishna is Premamai, full of love. The highest sentiment is that of love. Pure love, pure feeling, with no personal desire. I want this, I want that. I will serve this person, what will they do for me? But only let me serve, let that person be pleased. Asla shava padaratang pinashtumam adarshanan mam karotuva yata tata vidatatu lampato mat prananatas tusa evanapara. Radha, praise to Krishna, or about Krishna, that he may embrace me or he may kick me away, he may neglect me, whatever he does, he is my prananath, the Lord of my life. No other. So it's without any demand whatsoever, without any personal desire. To be free of desire means to be free of any desire for my own satisfaction. Let others be benefited. That's the idea.
Consciousness without desire is not possible. The consciousness is always with the desire. But some elevated people, enlightened people, they don't have desires. And if there is consciousness, then if it is desire means, then apart from that, how this desireless love arises?
You say that there are some elevated people who have consciousness without desire. Let's consider what this word desire means. Generally we think of the word desire as wanting to get something for oneself. But there's desire doesn't necessarily, it means desire to do anything. Just like someone who's very elevated, he doesn't have personal desire for anything, but still he comes into the world and teaches others because he has a desire to help them. So that he has desire, but it's not a bad desire. So we have to differentiate between bad desire and good desire, but desire is there. When we say you want to get free from desire, that means the kind of desire that causes us to degrade ourselves and to misbehave with others. But it's good to be free from that kind of desire, but better still is to have the desire to benefit others. So that kind of desire is good. This is the kind of desire we're talking about. And generally you'll find that even in the You must be knowing in the Mahayana Buddhist tradition, they have the idea of the Bodhisattva. He's already free from desire, but he comes in the world to enlighten others. That idea is there.
Yeah, but they are, because of this helping mentality, they still right. become bodhisattvas.
So that means they have a desire. But it's when we say we have a desire, it's not like the desire to go and get money or become famous or any such thing. But it's desire. It's not a degrading desire. But desire is there. The perfection of desire is prem, Krishna prem. The central object of all desire is Krishna. And if we direct our prem or our desire to Krishna, then automatically we become free from all lower desires.
Desire arises because of ignorance?
Yeah, wrong desire arises from ignorance of our proper position. But we wouldn't say that someone who comes in the world to preach for the benefit of others, they don't have any material desire, but that doesn't come out of ignorance. That desire comes as a result of knowledge. It's still desire, but the point here is that desire, it's not always something bad. Desire can be very good also. It's not always bad. Even Krishna himself, he says, hitakamyaya. I'm speaking this Bhagavad Gita to you, hitakamyaya. Because karma, I desire hit. I desire to benefit you. So if Krishna himself is in Maya, then his speaking cannot be of any hit, cannot help anyone. But because Krishna is above Maya, therefore his desire to help others can help them. Vakshyami, that's the word. Vakshyami hitakamyaya. I'm speaking to you because I desire to benefit you. So kam in and of itself is not necessarily bad. Krishna, we read these verses just now, kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava. But the calm which doesn't come from rajoguna, the calm which comes from jnana, hitakama, the desire to aid others, that's in a different category. It's very similar, but not exactly the same. Just like gold and iron, in many ways they're similar, but they're a different quality. So in the same way, prem and karma, they're very similar, but at the same time, the difference is, we should understand the difference. So understand the difference is essential.
Which boundary line that separates this prem and karma?
The boundary line between prem and karma is very simple. That's defined in one Bengali verse. Atma indriya priti vancha tare bale kam. Atma indriya, my own senses. The desire to satisfy my own senses is called kama. And Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premanam. The desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called prem. So that's why we learn about the gopikas of Vrindavan. It's said they worship Krishna with karma. But that karma, in that case, their karma is prem. Sometimes the word karma is used in a very good way also. And we are also advised in the higher stages of bhakti to become kamanuga. That we should develop desires, karma. But not this mundane karma, but the desire to serve Krishna with very strong feeling. So we don't want to just blank out all desire, but we want to have very strong karma. But for Krishna, our ideal is to be like the gopis of Vrindavan, or even the dust of their feet.
Overcome this ignorance, Swamiji. Even though that prem, Krishna's prem, we are losing for this simple material world. How it happens?
Sorry, I couldn't understand. What
How
is it?
How does it happen that we lose Krishna prem for this useless material world?
Yeah, it's astonishing, isn't it? Why should anyone not want to love Krishna? By loving Krishna, all benefit comes. We become free from suffering of birth and death. It becomes second nature for us. That we think it's natural to try to enjoy this world. When I'm hungry, naturally I want to eat. When I have to evacuate, I don't make a philosophical discussion. I just go and I evacuate. So, that is the job of Maya Devi. Yaya Samohita Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. Her job is to... She's deputed by Krishna to put us in the illusion that we want. If we want to enjoy this world, then Krishna is energy, Maya Devi, who is a Shakti. She provides that. Then Devi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratya. She's very powerful. But ultimately it's because we want it. There's a story, you're asking questions, you know all these verses, no doubt. But in the Mahabharata, there's a very instructive story. You must be knowing of one king. He had so many ministers in his court, all Brahmins. So one day he asked, he called one Dharma Sabha of all the famous pundits from all over the kingdom. And he asked the question, why can't we let go of Maya? How is Maya so strong that we can't get free from Maya? So all the different pundits gave, there are so many ideas about this. We know in the Vedic system there are six main schools. So all different, so many people. Then everyone said something, and there was one old man who was known to be a very good pundit and sadhu. He hadn't said anything. Everyone else had given their opinion. Then everyone looked at him. He was just listening to everyone. He hadn't said anything. So then he stood up, and in the king's sabha, there are so many pillars, he went and held on to one pillar very strongly and said, "Let me go! Let me go! Let me go!" And everyone thought he's become crazy. Then he said, "This is why Maya doesn't let us go. We're holding on and saying, 'Let me go.'" But by our own strength, it's very difficult because we're very small and Maya is very powerful. So Devi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Krishna says, one who surrenders to me, he can cross over maya. This is the hope. Take shelter of the powerful. By ourselves we cannot cross over the ocean. If we get a good strong boat with a good captain, we can cross. Otherwise, to cross over the ocean of material existence by our own effort, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult.
So saint says, really the Maya is not really exist, it is an illusion.
Yeah.
If you know it clearly, then you can transcend it.
Yeah, in one sense, this is all unreal. In one sense. Just like a dream is unreal. But in another sense, a dream is real. When we wake up from a dream, it may be a very vivid dream, and during the dream we're thinking, oh, now a tiger is chasing me, something like this. I often have the dream of missing the train. Somehow I always get this dream again and again. I'm chasing after the train, and it's just pulling out of the station, and I miss the train. But then I wake up and I know, and then I forget the dream, because why bother with it? It's just nonsense. But during the dream, it seems very real. So in the same way, this material world is like a dream, but then the dream has some reality also. During the dream, we think that it's real, and we feel emotions. So it does have some reality. So this whole material existence has some reality, we can say, at least in our imagination. So some level of reality is there. But it's unreal because it's... Why do we say the dream is unreal? When we feel pain or happiness, we experience it. Something is there. So in the same way, this material world has some level of reality. But when we understand that it's all temporary and I don't have any real relationship with anything of this world, then we can transcend that. But at the same time, we do have a relationship with others, not the mayic relationship. If I think this is my father, this is my mother, these are my children, that is illusory, because how many fathers and mothers have we had? How many children? But at the same time, we're placed in this situation, we have to act in a certain way. We can't just say, as long as we're in that grihastha ashram, we have to act. Just like Arjuna, he was a kshatriya, he had to act as a kshatriya and cultivate that knowledge at the same time. So when we understand that all these bodies are simply temporary, and the jiva is different from the body, then we don't become attached on the bodily platform. But we can, at the same time, understand that what is real is the Atma. So, just like Krishna says, I desire to benefit you, Arjuna. So, I am real. You are real. Krishna is real. All the living, all these ants running here. The body is not real, but the Atma is real. So if we desire to benefit the Atma, that desire, that relationship, we should not give up. So it's seeing the soul within every body.
What is the need of serving Atma? Atma is totally content and everything, omnipotent, omnipresent. So this Atma is not different from that Atma. Only one Atma is existing, the bodies are different. These bodies are illusionary.
Krishna is addressed as Param Brahma. We are Brahma. Krishna is Param Brahma. Krishna is Achyuta. He doesn't come under illusion. We are in illusion. So we may say that we see someone is sleeping, they're having a nightmare. In their dream. So we may wake him up so we can get out of the... No, anyway, it's not real, it's just a dream. We may say. But he's experiencing suffering. The suffering is illusory, but he's experiencing it. So we wake them up and we say, all right, relax. What you're dreaming of, it's not real. You don't have to be afraid. I read something recently, just tangentially here, about a man who is in a Nazi concentration camp during the Second World War. and all the at night they're all sleeping, and he got woken up by a man, going like this in the nightmare. So he thought he would wake him up. Then he thought, no, because when he wakes up, it's worse than the nightmare. The situation in the concentration camp was so bad, he thought it would be worse. When he wakes up and he realizes that what my actual situation is, better let him be asleep in the nightmare. What an unfortunate situation. So yeah, but we can help others to wake up to a happy life. Of course, in this material world, there's no happiness, but waking up from the dream of material existence and come to spiritual existence. Otherwise, if we say, well, everyone's Atma, the nature of the Atma is Satchidananda, so just don't endeavor for anything. But people are suffering, animals are suffering, everyone's suffering. If you see in front of you someone is beating an animal for no reason, you should say stop. Or someone is thrashing a child very severely, looks like the child may be killed, you say, stop, you don't do that. One should have some compassion for others also, is it not?
You also said that all Atmas are one, you and I are all one. The
yeah, well that I said, it's not exactly that we're all one, that Krishna is supreme, we are all parts of Krishna. In one sense we are one, in as much as we have the same nature. But on the other hand, I sometimes give this example. Someone says, oh, I'm very hungry. So you say, you come to my house, you call them in, you put out a big plate of food and you eat it in front of them. And then he says, well, I'm hungry, that's why you call them. Yeah, but I'm eating, I'm you, I and you, we're both the same. So you'll be satisfied looking at me. But it doesn't work like that, does it? We have individual desires and needs.
That is because of that body is hungry. So that is a basic need, we have to give it the food. But it is not connected with the Atma.
Now the consciousness in the body comes, the consciousness of the soul in the body manifest through that body. So even in the liberated state, the soul remains individual. Then he gets a spiritual body. But that point is there, that I and you, we're individual, we're separate. So we have our own individual desires. In the material world, the material desire is perverted desire, but in the spiritual world there are desires how to serve Krishna in different ways. That's not a material desire. That's a spiritual desire. How can we serve Krishna? Someone is picking flowers for Krishna, someone is cooking for Krishna, someone is massaging Krishna, someone is dancing with Krishna. That's not illusion. That is reality. There's no death in the spiritual world. But it's not just stopping desire, but rather it's cultivating loving desires beyond the bodily platform.
It may be a state of mind. While I am doing without any thought, or I am thinking as I am doing it for Krishna, I feel it is also a state of mind. What difference make it?
Then we have to understand, we have to come to the point of understanding Siddhanta. You may think that it's just a state of, well, it is a state of mind, but that's a pure state of mind, serving Krishna, in which there's no personal desire. Then we have to understand Siddhanta. What is actually the swarup of the Atma? Is it that we're just all one, homogeneous? Or even after liberation, do we remain individual? That's the big question. That divides the Advaita Marg from the Dvaita Marg. Shankara says all become one. Ishwar and Jiva are the same. But if we accept Bhagavad Gita as Krishna speaks it, and as Arjuna understands it, then it's not all the same. Krishna and Arjuna are different. Before they were different, after they were different. Bhagavatam states, Muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Mukti means hitva, giving up, anyata rupam, all these different forms, bodily, material forms, swarupena, within one's own swarup, personal rupa, personal form, vyavastiti, being situated in one's actual position. This is not our swarup, this is nothing, this is chemicals, nothing to do with us. But we have our, but we have our spiritual form also. That may be a concept which you're not so familiar with. That we have our spiritual form and spiritual senses to serve Krishna's spiritual Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna is also eternally present as Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He's not an ordinary person. He is the reservoir of all love and beauty, but not material. Material love means we get in trouble, but spiritual love means actual bliss. Premamrita, Premananda. So that is very sweet. Krishna is very sweet. We're looking for sweetness. In the material world, the sweetness comes out to be bitter. In the spiritual world, everything is actually very sweet and very nice. We have to be fortunate to be attracted by the flute of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, the love of Krishna. There are many examples. The Shuka, the son of Vyas, he was so realized that even in the womb of his mother, he didn't want to come out. He thought, better I stay here, outside's all Maya. And his father was Vyas. So eventually Vyas called Krishna, and Krishna told Shuka, you better come out. So Shuka came out of the womb, left home immediately. He said, I don't want to be in this, all Maya. Family, father, mother, it's all Maya. But then as he was going, he heard Vyasa had some students put on the path. They were reciting Bhagavatam, the glories of Krishna. He heard that and he thought, oh, that sounds very nice. He thought, why am I thinking it's nice? I should think nothing's nice, nothing's bad. Then he realized, if I think that's very nice, that must be something spiritually attractive. Because I, Shuka, I cannot be attracted by anything material. So he was attracted to hearing about Krishna. And that is practically that's a key understanding for understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. Atma ramas cha munayoni granthya apyarukrame kurvantya haitukin bhaktin itam bhuta gunaharehe. That even persons who are atma ram, they're fully satisfied in the They're not attracted to anything of this world. They're fully satisfied in Atma. Atma Ramascha. But they become attracted to hearing about the qualities of Hari. Because Hari is Nistraigunya. He's beyond the material propensities. So there are many examples. Also, another famous example is of the four Kumaras. Sanak, Sanatan, Sanat, Sanandana, they were also fixed in impersonal realization. But when the smell of the tulsi at the feet of Narayan entered their nose, then they experienced a changed bliss, spiritual bliss. So to come out of material desire and come to the position of no material desire, that means to come from the minus position to the neutral position. But we have to come to the positive position. So go from minus, zero, and go up to positive, plus. So out of material desire means to come to zero. But then to come to the positive spiritual desire, that is the plus position. Simply to be free from material desire, that's a beginning. That's also very difficult to do unless we develop spiritual desires. Because if one gets a better desire, he can give up the lower desire. A material example, if one has only very rough food to eat, he'll eat it. He has to eat something. If he says, now I'll stop eating altogether, I don't like this, all rice with stones in it and rotten rice, but he has to eat something. But then if he's given some nice food, then automatically he'll give up all the rotten rice with worms and all this kind of thing. So that's a material example. If we get a better taste, then we give up the lower things.
Things of desiring is changed, but desiring is there.
Yes.
Desire remains. But then if you're going to understand this Siddhanta that we're speaking, you have to incorporate in your thought process that desire in and of itself is not bad. Material desire is bad. But in fact, to be free of desire, practically that's impossible. If you think, I want to get free from desire, that's also a desire. Then you're caught in a loop. You're going round and round. But the idea that desire is in itself bad, no. Positive desire is wanted. Just like here in this South India, Tamil Nadu, North Tamil Nadu, there's very famous that Ramana Maharshi. So he just sat there and did nothing. So you can say he's completely desireless. But then you can say, why did he go there? He had some desire to be aloof from the world. Even it's a very small desire, but he made a decision just to go in one place away from the world and do nothing. What's the point of doing anything in this world? So he just lived. But Krishna told Arjuna that you work in the world without desire. Do your work and be desireless. There are so many verses. Krishna says this. Fight for the sake of fighting. Labha, labha, jayo, jayo. Tasmat yudhyasva. What is it? I'm forgetting it. There are so many verses. Anyway, Krishna says, without personal desire, you do your duty. You fight, you do your work. So, desire must be there, but the desire should be purified. The first stage of that purification is that kameva adhikaraste mapaleshu kadachana. That's the beginning. To work without desire, kamanyeva adhikaraste. The beginning is to work without desire for the result. But the more developed stage is mat karma krin, mat paramo, mat bhakta sangha varjita. That my devotee, Krishna says, he works for my sake, knowing me to be supreme. giving up material desires, then yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi, tadasi, yad tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Everything you do, you eat, you give away in charity, all austerities, you do for me, Krishna says. He doesn't say stop doing it, but he says do it for me.
Now the desire is changed. What about the desirer? The one who desires. Really, that is the problem. I feel we can change the good desire, bad desire by good desire, by material desire with the Krishna's desire. What about the desirer?
Well, there's no problem then. If the desirer has good desires, then there's no problem to exist as a desirer. It's not a problem.
Any time, from this side to that side, from positive to negative.
If it is possible to come from
negative to positive, it may happen at any time from positive to negative.
That's true, that we can go from positive to negative. But when we take shelter in Krishna, then Krishna protects us. Individually, we have no strength. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna protects us. Then we're safe. Therefore, Sharanagati, take shelter of Krishna. Right. You like to take some prasadam? Is it arranged there? Still going on cooking. Okay.
Understanding the contrast again, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer.
I am not the doer.
Karta hamiti, ahankara vimurha, ma karta hamiti manyate. Out of ahankara, we think I am the doer. We can desire, man proposes and God disposes. We may desire to do something, but only if He allows us can we do it. So independently we can't do anything. Even independently I'm catching this ant and throwing away, but even to lift my hand, God can take away that power anytime. So I may think I am doing, in one sense I'm doing, but only because He allows that. I had that experience once. I was in North India in the winter. And I woke up in the morning, it was very cold, and my whole right arm was completely stiff. I couldn't move. Normally you get up, you move around, you brush your teeth. I couldn't move it at all. Then I realized that we take it for granted that I can move my hands, I can get up, I can jump, I can walk, I can talk, but at any time that power can be taken away. Or He may give extra power. We're tiny, tiny beings. We don't have any individual power. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then He may empower us. One thing I wanted to say, maybe they're working on that, is that the drain is backing up. In your bathroom also? They're working on that, yeah. It is, yeah.
This side of the house, both are...
Yeah.
Says he is breathing inside. To just exist, we have to live. We want to do something means we have to exist. That existence itself is not in our hand. That one ultimate mighty thing is inside us, breathing for us. The breathing is happening. Then only we live. Then only we do even service to others. We can live to do this and that.
Our existence is dependent on His existence. We are dependent beings. He has given us slight independence. Basically, we are dependent.
Hare Krishna.